Taking a ride on the Freedom Train, your community resource podcast series. We are now live every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You know me, I'm your conductor, Joseph Warden. As always, ride with me, my homeboy, Mr. Patrick Irvin. What it is, Pat?
Yeah, I'm finna. You don't never let me go in.
Man, I got to get the other track. We're gonna have a freestyle session. Don't worry about it. We're gonna get you right.
Shoot, man, I've been practicing too. I was doing my ABCs earlier.
Hey, man, that's where you start.
I bet, what's the dude name that can't talk?
Which one?
There's so many of them, right?
Yeah.
You know the one I'm talking about. The one with the dreads and stuff. Damn, that don't narrow it down either.
Nah.
The one with the gold teeth. That don't narrow it. The skinny one.
Yeah, that don't help you.
That don't.
Yeah, with the blind tips.
The blind tip, that don't help.
Yeah, that don't help. You crazy. You crazy. But check this out. Everybody who calling in, make sure you spread the word. Tell everybody else that you know to call in to the show, 712-775-7031. The access code is 619-364-257. And remember, the Freedom Train is sponsored by PAX, Inc. PAX, Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.paxinc.org. That's PACTSINC.org. And make sure while you're out there surfing the web and all that, you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com to learn more about us and, you know, to hear the playbacks of your favorite shows and all of that stuff. And also, if you want to be cool, you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at _FreedomTrain. You know what I'm talking about? So who we got on the show today, Pat, man? Who we got?
Oh, man. Yo.
Yo.
We got the youngest superhero I ever met before in my life.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Kal-El is in the building.
No. Not Kal-El.
Oh. Okay. I'm sorry.
Ain't that Superman?
Yeah.
We don't do white people like that. No.
Well, what's black?
Say somebody say Icon or somebody like that.
Well, Black Dynamite.
Icon was technically an alien, but he assumed the form of a black slave. Anyways, yeah. Black Dynamite, that could work.
There you go. No. Mr. Black Dynamite, a.k.a. the Latre Hollinger.
Yeah, Black Dynamite, Dynamite.
How you doing?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm doing really well. Just getting off work here just a few minutes ago. I'm doing real good.
Yes, sir. Happy to have you back once again to spread the word even further about the Aqualina Sea Howl Dinner. It's coming up May 26th in Tallahassee at the Goodwood Museum. So, you know, we're going to go more into that. But, you know, like we always do, we want to reintroduce you to our audience. So I'm going to go into your bio, give a little background information, and then, you know, we jump into our Q&A and have a little fun. So,
all right.
A fifth-generation Tallahassean, Delatry J. Hollinger is the founder and executive director of the National Association for the Preservation of African American History and Culture, Incorporated, and a nonprofit organization dedicated to the protection of historical properties and preservation advocacy. He currently serves as legislative intern to Senator Geraldine Thompson. He is the founding curator and is associate director of the Taylor House Museum of Historic Frenchtown with the Tallahassee Urban League Incorporated, where he has served since 2011. Delatry played a key role in having the 121-year-old Taylor House placed on the National Register of Historic Places in 2015. On January 8, 2016, he was appointed to Utility Citizens Advisory Committee by City Manager Rick Fernandez. Delatry is a highly sought-after public speaker, having been invited to serve as guest speaker by elementary, middle, and high schools and by state officials. He has received numerous awards for his community service and leadership, being recognized as the Tallahassee Community's Youth of the Year by the Capital Outlook. He has been honored with the prestigious TCC Cherry Hall Alexander African American History Calendar, Tallahassee Chapter of the Lynx Incorporated, Outstanding Community Service, Leon Community Board of, County Commissioners Resolution for Dedication to Community Service, the NAACP Youth and College Award, Leon County Schools, and the American Student Association of Community Colleges. DeLatry is also the author of And This Too Shall Pass, The Story of Aquilina C. Howell, and is the author of Stand Up, 75 Young Activists Who Rocked the World and How You Can Too, which garnered him a Nautilus Book Award and the Indie Fab Book Award for Excellence in Young Adult Nonfiction. At the age of 18, he became one of the youngest persons ever to run for the office of City Commission in Tallahassee, Florida, and he is a superhero, and he can do a Rubik's Cube with his eyes closed without using his hands. Mr. DeLatry Hollinger, once again.
I almost didn't know what you were talking about, Joseph.
Hey, man. I mean, you know, it's you. It's you. You, at the age of 21, you have accomplished a lot, and it's nothing to be
22.
Ashamed of.
So, 22.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Man, out his years.
I'm sorry. I'm going to give you your year. Give you that, yeah. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Now, but seriously though, at your age, you've accomplished a lot. You've accomplished a lot more than a lot of people, other people have in a lifetime. So you know, my hat's off to you.
I appreciate you.
No problem. No problem. No problem. Pat, man, you know how we do it. Go ahead, and kick this thing off.
So, the icon, Black Dynamite. Mr. Hollinger, can you, and I know you can, but we would like for you to refresh everybody's memory by telling us what the purpose of the Aquilina Howell Dinner is and why we should support it.
Well, I appreciate that, Pat. Well, first of all, the Aquilina C. Howell Dinner is going to be held, like Joseph mentioned, on Thursday, May the 26th at 6 p.m. at Goodwood Museum and Garden. That's located at 1600 Miccosukee Road here in Tallahassee. Mrs. Howell was very instrumental in desegregating the Leon County school system. She was the first female assistant school superintendent in Leon County and very, very active in desegregating our local schools in the 60s and the 70s. And we wanted to honor her with this scholarship for Florida A&M University students. It's for those students who are majoring in social sciences, arts and humanities. So it's for political science majors, education majors, English majors, African American studies majors, history, Spanish, and the like. We have done a significant amount of great work with fundraising already. We're very, very appreciative of the support that we've received from the community. Heretofore, we're just looking for some more contributions from some people. Very, very grateful for what we've received already. And I'd like to talk for just a little bit about the parent organization to the Aquilina Howell Foundation, and that is the National Association for the Preservation of African American History and Culture, Incorporated, which is a public charitable 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to protecting historical properties in throughout the United States. And so that's just a little bit about the National Association. The acronym is NAPAC. And some of the things that we've been doing since we were officially incorporated in 2013.
Yes, sir. Make sure you guys support. This is a great event coming from a great young man and a great organization. Make sure you support. All right, so without digging too far, all up in your business about the event, because you do have a financial goal that you're trying to reach for this event, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And so if you don't mind, you know, giving a little bit of information, how far away from your goal are you, and what are the different ways that people can contribute to this event to help you reach your goal?
People can contribute in a myriad of ways. First, let me say that we are $2,500 away from our original goal, and so that is a blessing. We have it to where people can contribute online. So you can go to www.blackpreservation.org. That's blackpreservation.org, and click on Howell Foundation, and then scroll down to purchase tickets. And you can purchase tickets through our website. Also, you can mail your donation in. Tickets are $75. You can mail your donation in to P.O. Box 6663, and the zip is 32314, Tallahassee. So that is some of the ways in which people can contribute. And so, again, that's blackpreservation.org, and sending a contribution to the Aquiline Howell Foundation, P.O. Box 6663, Tallahassee 32314.
All right.
36, what was that number again?
32314.
32314, okay. I'm writing that down. That's why I asked. 32.
Well, I hope to get your check soon, Pat.
I don't really mail in checks like that, but I'll send you a donation. You on my list of people that I need to give money to.
All right, definitely. I'm very grateful for that, man.
Definitely on my list of people that I need to give money to. Because, you know, I, for one, and I'm finna get into my little short rant, but for one, I think we really need to spend more time supporting organizations to support us. Especially right. As people of color, as black people, we definitely need to do more in terms of supporting nonprofits that have a genuine interest in supporting our community and preserving our past. And that's something that, you know, yeah, we do an okay job at. I'm not going to throw stones, but we could definitely do about a bazillion times better at it. So, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite and be out there telling people, especially if I have a fundraiser sometime, and be telling people donate to my nonprofit, my fundraiser, and I'm not doing it for other people like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just don't sit right. I would be a liar.
And right.
Yeah.
Part integrity and honesty are both parts of my family crest.
Right.
I hear you. And you're absolutely right. And it's so very important that we support our organizations. I'm a college student, so I do what I can, but I definitely I'm a card-carrying member of the FAMU National Alumni Association. I'm a member of the NAACP. I'm a member of the National Action Network, which is Reverend Al Sharpton's national organization. And I'm about to become a member of the National Museum of African American History and Culture, which is slated to open on September the 24th on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. That's an event that no one will want to miss. The first African-American president of the United States will be cutting the ribbon to the National Museum of African-American History and Culture. That's going to be an amazing event, but it's very, very important. And there, I want to talk, Joseph, if I may, and Pat, just a little bit about some of the people throughout the state of Florida that are working very hard to restore some of our historical landmarks. And the first person I want to talk about is Dr. Donald Shepherd. Dr. Donald Shepherd, who is chairman of the National Board of Trustees for the National Association for the Preservation of African American History and Culture, is the pastor of Watson Temple Church in Tallahassee. And he is also the director of the Watson Temple Community Development Corporation, which owns the Getty Store. The Getty Store is a building that dates back to 1927. here in the historic Frenchtown community, and they are working very hard to raise $50,000 to restore that structure. There is a historical home in Pensacola, Florida, called the Ella Jordan Home. And Miss Ella Jordan died in 1948, but she was a civil rights activist who lived in Pensacola, and she was the founder and first president of the Pensacola chapter of the Federation of Colored Women's Clubs. And then, of course, the last property I'll talk about for now is the Jackson House. The Jackson House served as a 24-room boarding house in Tampa, Florida, existed since 1901. And the Jackson House Foundation is seeking to raise several hundred thousand dollars to restore that property. And so here we have foundations and nonprofits and organizations throughout Florida who have these historical properties that are just sitting there that are in desperate need of restoration. We need to be coming to their aid. We need to be helping them, because if we can restore these properties, then that's bringing tourism dollars to the state. That's creating jobs. If these organizations plan on creating museums, that's creating jobs. I mean, if you have a community center, you still have to employ people, so that's creating jobs for people. Is you know, Florida is supposed to be the top tourism destination place in the country. One of the best ways to do that is to restore these historical properties. And then, you know, we also have to be cognizant and mindful that gentrification and development are taking over, not just in Florida or Tallahassee, but all over the country. And I'm seeing that consistently. So we definitely have to make sure that we are doing the right thing. Definitely have to make sure that we are watchful and supporting our brothers and sisters who are trying to make a difference in their respective communities.
Right.
That is so true.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it all the time. It's so true. Yes, sir. So,
Joe,
go ahead. What's up?
I deliver, you know, my little monologue, and then Dr. Hollinger delivered his soliloquy. I've been watching Stephen A. Smith. You ain't got nothing to say? You can't let us out, do you, bro?
Hey, man, look here. What I have to say is I agree with both of y'all.
Boo!
Whatever. So, the Latrine. All right, so you've been putting this event together for a while, and I know you've come across some challenges in putting this event together. So, if you don't mind talking about some of your greatest challenges that you faced so far putting this event together, and, you know, how have you managed to overcome those challenges and being able to move forward?
Well, Joseph, let me say that we have some wonderful people that live in Tallahassee, Florida, and they are individuals who are committed to community service. They are committed to giving back. I was overwhelmed at the amount of support that has come into the Aquilina Howell Foundation for this Aquilina C. Howell Educational Scholarship. We've gotten contributions from all over the country, I'm very proud to say, and I've just been overwhelmed. When we first began to plan it, I admittedly was very nervous, very skeptical, but those are things that not only for the planning of this event, but throughout my 22 years, I've always had to push skepticism and all of that to the back of my mind and just move with blinders on, concentrated on the goal and the task at hand, and it has proved successful thus far. So it was just a matter, Joseph, of making phone calls. It was a matter of doing some in-person visits. It was a matter of sending some letters. to some of my longtime mentors, but also to some people who knew Mrs. Howell very well, and it has been a labor of love working with her daughter, Carmen Howell Ferguson, the founder of the Aquilina Howell Foundation. Has been a rewarding experience as well. And, you know, it's something that the family has always wanted to do. They've always wanted to honor Mrs. Howell's memory in this way. They just did not have the time or the resources to contribute to that. So I thought, what a great task for NAPAC to take on. To establish the Aquilina Howell Foundation and to raise these scholarship dollars and to assist the deserving students in who want to go to Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. And so, you know, it's just a matter of getting out there and doing it. A lot of times I talk to a lot of my colleagues and friends who want to do certain things like write a book or start a business, and I tell them, I said, you just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, don't think about it, just do
just
it.
Do
because
it, right.
If you think about it, then that gives you enough time to back away from it and to say, oh, it's too much work. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't have time to do that. No. Just do it. You know, while you're sitting at the computer, open up a Word document and start typing. Go to the Division of Corporations downtown and file your paperwork to start your business. Just do it, you know, because that's the only way it's going to get done. And, you know, I found that people have been extremely supportive, and I'm so grateful for everyone's support. I can't say thank you enough. Thank you to all of our table sponsors. Everyone who bought a ticket, everyone who made a donation, thank you so much, because we would not have been able to do it without you. And the goal at hand, of course, is to send students to college. So we are so very, very grateful for your support.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Make sure you guys visit blackpreservation.org and make your donations, your contributions. Let's get some people into school. Let's do it.
And
I'm sure
the level of work that you've already put in made the task a lot more manageable. Like when I hear about the success you've had with the fundraiser, the first thing that pops in my mind is the fact that you've already put in a lot of work in the community in Tallahassee. The fact that you're already somewhat of a known figure in certain circles in the city. You know, when you decide that you need something or you want to do something, now you have that circle of people that know that you're credible and reputable that are willing to go to bat and stand behind you. And so, you know, I kind of wanted to tell, you know, to everybody, what's the saying, Joe? When you do something for an army of people, you have an army of people willing to do something for you.
Right.
So, you know, because we talk to a lot of people as well that want to do a lot of things. And you're 100% right. They should just do it. In the process of you doing things, you get an opportunity to meet people. You get an opportunity to help people. You get an opportunity to be a part of things with other people. And then when you really need other people to come to bat for you, those people will be there. So I don't know if that's actually true for your scenario or not. So one, I wanted to ask if it was true for your scenario. And two, I wanted to ask if that was, you know, if would you agree with something like, would you agree that is kind of the way things work?
I would agree, definitely that is a significant part of what it takes. I'm thankful for the relationships I've been able to build in such a short amount of time. And when I say amount of time, I guess in such a short life, that I've had in 22 years, the relationships that I've been able to build with certain people, and they indeed came to bat for the Akron Howell Foundation, and I'm so grateful. Absolutely is the answer to your question. It's so, so very important to build relationships with people, but also to help other people, like you said, so that when you have that business that you want to start, or that book you want to write and sell, or that that organization you want to start, so that you'll have certain people that you know will help you because you took the time out to help them. It's so important to build relationships with people, your mentors, people who helped you through middle school and high school and college, your professors, getting out into the community, meeting people, elected officials, community leaders, people like that. That's so, so very important. And Tallahassee, thankfully, does not have a shortage of people who are willing to move and shake and get things done. So definitely, I think that, you know, the relationships that I had already built played a significant role in the success that we're seeing with the Akron Howell Foundation. But certainly not the people that I know alone. I want to give a great amount of credit to Carmen Howell Ferguson, Mrs. Howell's daughter, who knows several people and who was able to get on the phone just like I was on the phone, calling different people, asking them to contribute to this Howell Scholarship. Also, Miss Lucille Alexander. Mrs. Lucille Alexander is Miss Akron Howell's sister, and she was able to pull in a lot of great and enthusiastic support. So, but yes, to answer your question, absolutely.
No, that was a wonderful answer, because you not only did you elaborate on your connections, but you show how your connections use their connections to help you as well, and kind of, you know, it wasn't just my circle or my, you know, it was the fact that everybody got involved. You know, so that was a brilliant answer, because it illustrates the point and it takes it out further. Yes, my connections made a difference, but it wasn't just my connections. It was my connections using their connections, using their connections. And it kind of illustrates how that process really expands upon itself.
Right, so, right. That was a brilliant answer. I mean, but like you say, man, that's the way you get stuff done. You can't just sit back and expect things to happen because you want them to. You have to lay some groundwork. And so we're glad to see
that groundwork has been made.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. I was just going to agree with you, Joseph. And that's the only thing, that's the only way that anything has ever been able to get done at any time in history.
Correct. Correct. All right. So, let's say I'm a person who has never heard of Akwilina Howell, but I saw some information about the event and I'm interested in the event. You know, could you help me, if I'm this person, help me understand the importance of supporting and attending this event? Why would, like, if I'm a young person, 20, 25 years old, and, you know, I've seen the name around town and don't really know too much, or I never heard of her at all. I just see the name. Could you help that person understand why this event is important for them to attend and support?
Yes, well, first I would tell that young person that Akwilina Howell was someone who absolutely loved young people. She spent her entire life, including a significant amount of her personal time, ensuring the success of all students in the Leon County school system. She spent her entire life as an educator and a school administrator. She was the first woman to serve as assistant superintendent of Leon County schools in history. She loved to cook. She loved life. She loved learning. She loved meeting new people. She loved putting young people and older people alike on the right track. She loved to see people get along. And she was someone who made sure that people got along. And it was her brilliant mind and her almost magical touch and her way of defusing heated situations that almost single-handedly paved the way for a peaceful path to the desegregation of our local schools here in Leon County. She was someone who would make you do something that you didn't want to do, encourage you, tell you that you could do it, that she knows you can do it. Mm-hmm. She would say, baby, I know you can do it. But you did not want to, but Ms. Howell would make you do it anyway, and after you did it, you would be happy that you did. She was that kind of person. She was so motherly. She mothered everyone she came into contact with. Every school board member, principal, superintendent, teachers tell stories of how she nurtured them and guided them through the system and gave them the greatest advice they'd ever received. Sometimes I just can't believe the things that I heard about this woman. It's almost as if she was a superwoman in a way. Anyone who knew her was in her presence has nothing but just absolutely amazing things to say about it. Sometimes I'm just amazed at some of the stories I hear. You know, when you talk about people like Senator Bill Montfort and school board member Maggie Lewis Butler and Commissioner Curtis Richardson and Commissioner Marianne Lindley, these are people that Ms. Howell took under her wing, and they're just a few out of hundreds of people that she took under her wing and were able to teach them and guide them. And what's so significant about it is Ms. Howell was never an elected official. She never held public elective office, but she was. But she has a street named after her. She has a park named after her. She has the main Leon County Schools building named after her. Those are honors that congressmen and governors get, but she has received them because of the almost mammoth impact that she had throughout Leon County. I mean, it was just amazing. So this event is an event to recognize her, but it is also an event to recognize hardworking students. We want to give our students an opportunity to have that hand up that they so desperately need sometime. We want to be able to give young people like yourself an opportunity to go to college. We want to give young people like yourself an opportunity to be more, to be someone who can have just as large of an impact as she had on the world. And that's why it's important for you to attend, young person. You don't have to give us $75 for a ticket. You know, if you can just contribute in any way, contribute your time, contribute your energy, contribute $5. You know, anything that you could give to us would be valued, would be appreciated, and I'm absolutely positive and certain that Mrs. Howell would have appreciated, and I know that our recipients of this scholarship would appreciate your help and support.
Man, you made me go put my suit on right now. Shoot.
I really love these scholarship foundations that we're starting, and we really need a bunch more of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there are tons of people like myself who struggle to pay for college, and some like myself chose to go into the military just to pay for college. They didn't really want to go. They didn't really whatever. But that was the only way that they could see themselves getting tuition. And it really ends up being quite detrimental for so many people. So if they could have the freedom to be able to go to college, enjoy their college experience on the dime of their community and organizations that are of their community, and then be able to make an informed choice about what they want to do from that point forward, instead of being forced to make a choice that they're not necessarily ready to make, on the hopes of achieving a dream that they might not achieve once the stipulations of the contract set in. And I don't want to draw you into any military bashing or anything like that. That's not my intent. I'm just praising the fact that the effort was put forth to create another way for people to be able to finance higher learning. And it's something that really needs to be praised more often, because it's something that in today's day and age, where so many people are bashing education, so many people are talking down on education, especially the college experience, and the college experience is becoming increasingly expensive as time goes by, it's something that we don't really see a lot of from a lot of nonprofits trying to alleviate the financial pressures of going to college, and it really is something that's needed more often. So, you know, and I had to dial back from my previous angle. Obviously, I feel some type of way about the military, and I don't want to get you caught up into that. But I do think it's admirable that your foundation is, the Aquilina C. Howard Foundation, is choosing to make an impact on the community in that way. Like, that's something that is very much needed, is needed more of, is not talked about enough within the community, and it's something that's extremely important. So I just wanted to salute you on that.
Oh, thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah. I mean, our studio audience want to, you know. Our audience like you as well, so.
I appreciate that.
Now, you wrote your book on Aquilina Howell as an eighth grader?
I started, let's see, I think I was in seventh grade when I started writing the book. Yes, sir. Yeah.
So what was it about her, and what was it in general that would cause a seventh grader? I mean, so many of the seventh graders I know don't even like to read.
Right.
They hate doing book reports. They don't even want to write you two sentences. And you were so inspired by her story that you chose to sit down and start a book at 7 years old. Like, explain that to people. How did that come about?
This book actually came out of another book. And it's kind of a long story. I'm going to see if I can give you the short. I want to say seventh grade. If it wasn't seventh grade, it was eighth grade. But I was attending Fairview Middle School, and Superintendent Jackie Pons came to an assembly, and I kind of bum-rushed him while he was, because, you know, the superintendent always in a hurry, always trying to leave. So he tried to leave out of the side door, but I stopped him. And I asked him, I said, "Superintendent Pons, you know, I was kind of really, really upset when the school board made the decision to close Leonard Weston Elementary School, because that was my elementary school. And I was asking him, I said, well, do you think there's any way that, you know, is there some identity that we could put back in the Weston? Turns out the superintendent was going to be recommending at that next school board meeting that the old Weston building be named after the Reverend Arion Gooden and Miss Nancy Russell. Now, the Reverend Arion Gooden was one of the most respected, well-known civil rights leaders in the city of Tallahassee and in the state of Florida, second only to the Reverend C.K. Steele. Miss Nancy Russell was the first African-American and the first woman to serve as principal of Weston Elementary School, and they both were avid community leaders. So I was very, very proud of that. And I actually had been working on a book. It was 48 pages of the principles of Leonard Weston Elementary School, because I thought that since this school had closed and that it would no longer necessarily be an elementary school, that it was important that someone document the history of this school. So I started, well, now that one I probably started in sixth or seventh grade. But I put that one together. It was self-published. It wasn't officially published like the Howell book. But the superintendent invited me to that school board meeting that night, and I came with my principal. I have to give much props to my principal, Roger Penholster, who was the principal of Fairview Middle School at the time, and he's currently a candidate for the Leon County School Board. Dr. Penholster, you know, took me on his wing and fostered what he saw was a love of learning and writing and history. So he actually tried. He took me around to different book publishers, tried to help me get the book published, and you know, and really that night, it was on February the 12th of 2008. I remember the date. That was the night of the school board meeting when they voted to rename the old Weston building after these two leaders. And after I went to that meeting and I saw the school board members in action, and the superintendent, you know, had me to say a few words, you know, I think my community activism was on from there. Like, I haven't stopped since, and that's been 8 years ago. So the book on Aquilina Howell came out of another book on the principles of the Weston Elementary School. Now, as my principal and I were leaving the school board meeting that night, we were walking through the lobby of the building, and I saw this beautiful woman looking down at me smiling. And I said to myself, I wonder who that is. And my principal said, I think that's Mrs. Howell, who this building is named after. And so really after that night, that really sparked my curiosity in knowing who she was, because obviously this woman had to have done something significant to have this building where the Leon County School Board meets named after her. So pretty much from that point forward is how I got started in writing the book. That was 2008, and it took me until 2012 to write the book, interview all of the people who knew her, gather all of the information together, going back through old newspaper articles, old books, reading different, you know, manuscripts, and just doing a bunch of research and writing and interviewing. And then, of course, I was making the transition to a high school student, so I had my education going on. So so that's how it got started. And we were able to publish the book on October the 29th of 2012, which was 3.5 years ago.
Man, you know what? This, you get another applause. It's like the legend of the Latre grows every time you talk.
I'm going to have to correct you, or I'm going to need to correct Google, one of the two. But I'm going to bring it up now because, see, I did my research on you. And in my notes here, and hold on, I'm pulling it up in Google right now to make sure that my notes ain't wrong. And there it is. It says your book was published October 1st in 2012.
That might be correct.
It's a small issue. It don't mean nothing. But when they make a movie, they need to have the dates right, right?
Right, exactly.
I got you. You're right. You're right.
Right.
Especially for a historian.
Right.
And so, I'm going to executive produce that movie too, just to let you know.
Well then, so if we need to write Google and tell them y'all need to fix y'all website, or you know, you need to formally change your date. Whichever one is cool, I personally think we should just correct Google.
I know, right? Hey man, but seriously though, like when I was in the seventh grade, my main concern was girls. So for you to like the story that you were telling about you in the seventh grade, I'm picturing it in my mind as if I'm literally watching the movie. And you know, my hat goes off to you, man, because your interest and focus at that young age is unparalleled, man. So, I mean, congratulations on all of the success that you've had so far, and congratulations on all the future success that you're going to have, because you're the man. You are the man.
That is most definitely a movie. Just that story right there. A seventh grader deciding to write a book on the principals of his former elementary school, and then being taken under the wing of a city official, being able to speak at a city meeting, then turning around and writing a book on, you know what I'm saying, a prominent figure in the city, and then being a social activist at that age, a community activist at that age, and coming on, like, that's a movie right there. They could stop it at when they could do just do the age. How old are you in the seventh grade? What, like 11, 12, 13 maybe? So I could do it from 13 to 18 and just stop the movie right there at 18.
I know, right?
And it's already an amazing. I mean, look, they made a movie about Tu Wong Fu. You know what I mean? Hey,
man, they made Benjamin Button. Can do The Legend of the Lecher.
Made movies about people that have done far less with their
life. Right.
And the fact that you were as young as you were when I was in the seventh grade, I hated history. And you couldn't tell me that history was.
Oh, cool. God.
You could not explain to me in any words that I could have understood that history was important in the seventh grade. I hated it with a passion.
Oh, man.
I didn't fall in love with history until I joined the military, to be honest. Even through high school, I hated history. Even through college, I hated history. It really wasn't until I had a son myself, and I wanted to be able to teach him and relate the world to him, that I really fell in love with history. So, you know what I'm saying? You fell in love with history in the sixth, seventh grade. You probably naturally had an affection for it.
Well, I think it was, and I'm going to let you get back. I don't mean to interrupt you, Pat.
No, you're good.
Well, actually, it was a book. It was Mary McLeod Bethune, The Black Hope. Mm-hmm. And it was a watercolor book of Dr. Bethune, and it was talking about, and that's the first book I remember ever looking down at reading, and my mother was reading it to me. I had to be 2 or 3 years old, and I remember just falling in love with this book and this woman named Mary McLeod Bethune, and being in awe that a black woman at that time, even at that age, started a life insurance company, a hospital, a university, two national organizations, was the advisor to the President of the United States. I'm talking about a woman who missed slavery by only 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, even at 3 years old, wow. And so
see,
I have... So I think it is. So my boss called me a natural historian or something like that, and that just stuck with me, because and that made me harken back to 3 years old, Mary McLeod Bethune, and it's just like that's one of the first things that I can remember is reading this book on Dr. Bethune. So it's something that definitely didn't start when I was 13, but it. Like it's been a lifelong journey.
See,
go ahead, man.
We're probably gonna say the same thing, but like every time you talk, your legend grows. Like I don't know if you realize that because you just went from being a genius seventh grader to a genius 3-year old, in 2.5 minutes. So.
Oh, God.
It's just so impressive to meet a young person that, because it, history seems to be one of those subjects, regardless how it's taught. I don't know. I do think a lot of it is how it's taught and our perspective of it. But it still seems to be one of those things where you don't really gain a respect for it until you're older and you can see how things that happened when you were younger have influenced things that are happening now. Like, normally that revelation is required for people to really respect history. But for you to, you know, say that, I mean, basically you're a natural historic genius. And then
right.
That, and the book, I want to say to everybody, this ain't no love, because I know a lot of people that say, well, my teenage son got a book too, and I done seen your teenage son's books. Nothing against your teenage son, but his book was only about 20 pages.
This is a book. This is a real book.
Yeah, this book is over 130 pages we're talking about here.
with historical detail.
Right. So this ain't like no book that your son put together for a book report in his eighth grade social studies class. This is not that. Okay, this book is also in the Leon County Public Library System and in the State Library of Florida. So this book is recognized as a legitimate source of real accurate historic information, and it was written, or it was started by a damn seventh grader.
And this book is the leading authority on Miss Aquilina Howe. So that's the icing on the cake, because DeLatre himself is the world's authority on this amazing lady, her history. So, you know.
So go kill yourself.
That's how you drop the mic on him, like right there.
Because you know. I can already hear people saying, well, my son wrote a book, too. No, this ain't like what your son was.
Nah, you need go buy it. Go to Amazon.com and buy it.
And if you in Florida, go to if you in Leon County, according to the database I'm looking at right now, they have a copy at the public library, in the public library system. So
they do. And we also have them also in the public school system media centers as well. Two of them.
Right.
So go get it, look at it. And then look at what your child is writing, and then go jump off a bridge, because you know, we got a problem with giving people they due credit.
He gets his. before we run out of time, though, I do want to get one more question in before we get to our last one, though. But NAPAC is an organization that is designed to preserve historical sites across the country. Now, you are a Tallahassean, a fifth generation Tallahassean, born and raised. Why was it important to you to help preserve historical properties outside of Tallahassee when your roots are here in Tallahassee?
Well, that's true, Joseph. My roots are here in Tallahassee. As a matter of fact, my grandmother was a part of the group of first black nurses to integrate Tallahassee Memorial Hospital. She had been a nurse for about 15 years at the Florida A&M University Hospital, which for many, many years was the only hospital within 150 miles of Tallahassee that would serve African Americans. So she worked there, and then when TMH was told to either integrate or forfeit federal funds, when they integrated Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, that she went over there and became a part of that group of the first black nurses at TMH. My roots are here. My roots are also in Blakely, Georgia. It was important, I think, because what we see happening in Tallahassee, namely, within the last 2 months, we've seen two African-American historical landmarks torn down right before our very eyes. That's the Shingles Chicken Shack and the Hattie's Upholstery.
Without notice.
Those were, yes, and those were torn down without anyone knowing about it. You know, we didn't have time to fight against it. We didn't have time to save them. But that's not just happening in Tallahassee. That's not just happening in Leon County. It's happening all over this country. As a matter of fact, NAPAC is in a is trying right now to save the Bethel AME Church in Indianapolis that has existed since 1834. And was a stop on the Underground Railroad, where and many anti-slavery activists, you know, took shelter there. The first branch of the Indianapolis NAACP was started there, and the church could not raise the $2 million they needed to restore that church, this beautiful church. So now they've sold it to a developer who wants to turn it and turn that spot into a hotel. So we have to stop that. And in addition, the church from which Brother Malcolm X was buried, no church in Harlem would host Malcolm X's funeral on February 27, 1965 because of bomb threats. The only church in Harlem that would hold the funeral was what is today known as Child's Memorial Temple, Church of God in Christ. Back then it was known as Faith Temple. But Bishop Alvin Alexander Childs was the only member of the clergy in Harlem that would allow Brother Malcolm's funeral to take place at their place of worship. That church is, as we speak, being picked apart piece by piece by a developer. And those are just two examples of some situations that NAPAC has been involved in trying to prevent such nightmares from happening. In my opinion, this is our history. This is who we are. This is what we came from, our legacy, and it's happening everywhere. So it was extremely important to me, Joseph, to not just have such a minuscule focus, but to have a significant impact throughout the United States. And God knows that this organization is needed.
Yes, it is.
Hey, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Man, I love your passion for what you do as well. So that's why we know you're gonna go far in life, because you're passionate about what you're doing, and you know what you're doing, and you have a working knowledge of the things that you speak about and the things that you go about doing. So, once again, I hat off to you.
Yes, sir. And Joseph, how much more time we got?
As much as you need.
Okay. All right, that's cool. I want to recognize every member of the board of the National Board of Trustees for the National Association for the Preservation of African American History and Culture, and beginning with our chairman, Pastor Dr. Donald Shepherd, Dr. Crystal DeGregory of Nashville, Tennessee, Dr. Makola Abdullah, the president of Virginia State University, Mr. Joseph Ward, who I like to call an author, activist, educator, and coach, and he's so much more than that. He's one of my greatest friends. Mr. Jamisio Brown, who is a student at Florida State University who just graduated, so I want to congratulate Trustee Brown. Travaris McCurdy, who is a resident of Orlando, Florida, and is the chief legislative aide to Senator Geraldine Thompson, Ms. Emily Rattini-Reich, who is the coordinator of the Fostering Achievement Fellowship Program at Tallahassee Community College, Ms. Joy Tiggs, who is an employee for Athena Health out of Atlanta, Ms. Alicia Alexander, who is the niece of Aquilina Howell, and she's also the founder and executive director of Project Karma, Inc., which is a grief support nonprofit organization for kids who are dealing with loss. And Dr. DeGregory out of Nashville is the founder and executive editor of HBCU Story, Incorporated, which is an advocacy organization in support of historically black colleges and universities. So I want to give due props to every member of the Board of Trustees for NAPAC. Each one of you all worked hard. I'm so grateful for every one of you, just wanted to make sure I gave everybody a shout out.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it very much. And you are the real hero. Don't forget that. We follow you. You are the real hero, and the world is grateful for your presence, man. Definitely.
Thank you.
You know, your what you were saying earlier got me to thinking about the history that's all around us, and really the task of your organization is really going to be a growing task as time goes on. And it's probably a very thankless job, I imagine, from the community as a whole. Like we were talking about the young girl that got killed in that school in Delaware not too long ago, and a lot of people don't realize the historical significance of that school as being one of the five schools involved in the Brown versus Board Supreme Court case, you know. So, it reminds me that everywhere I look, there are components and aspects of our history, and almost everywhere you look, they're in danger.
Yeah.
It really sinks in the magnitude of what you're trying to do, like the
right.
scope and the level of what you're trying to accomplish. And preserving our history and preserving these landmarks, and how over time the job is going to continue to get bigger and bigger. This isn't a job that's going to get smaller and smaller. It's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. As time goes on, history is forgotten, and slowly these landmarks that were once proud beacons of our culture slowly lose their luster in the public eye. And become subject to demolition, redevelopment, or other forces that would seek to remove them from the planet. So it's just, it makes it that much more amazing, and it makes me that much more appreciative of you and your organization and what you guys are trying to do.
That's
and
right.
we got to let me go into that a little bit briefly. NAPAC has to build its war chest. And I say that because you have people that are buying up these properties. And once someone has purchased a property, no matter if it's on, they can do what they want to because it's their property.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for the NAPAC to have the resources monetarily to be able to purchase property so
mm-hmm.
that it can be saved from potential demolition. And you have so many organizations throughout the country that are doing this, but an extreme shortage of organizations throughout the country that have a focus on African-American historical properties, which I feel is why we're losing so many of them at once. And it's just so much going on all over the country, and we need all hands on deck if we're going to be successful. And I know that we'll be successful because I personally will never give up. It is my passion. It is something that I enjoy doing. I'll never stop working to preserve this very, very important legacy. But we need members of NAPAC. We need your membership. It's $40 for a year to become a member of NAPAC. You can pay online, blackpreservation.org. It's very easy. Your contribution is tax deductible. This is a public charity exempt from federal income tax under Section 501c3 of the Internal Revenue Code. So everything you contribute, you get back at the end of the year. So so we need your support. We need your moral support. We need your financial support and your spiritual support.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And could you remind our listeners again when the Aquilina Howe dinner is and where it is and what time?
It would be my pleasure. The Aquilina C. Howell dinner will be held on Thursday, May the 26th, 2016 at 6 o'clock p.m. at Goodwood Museum and Gardens. It's going to be in the Carriage House, and it's at 1600 Miccosukee Road in Tallahassee. We are so excited. Looking forward to you all being there. We're looking forward to your presence, and we're looking forward to having an extremely successful event.
Right. So if you don't live in Tallahassee, drive your cars, your trucks, your Hummers, boats, vans, whatever you need. Jump on the Greyhound, Red Coach, whatever you need to do. Y'all, if you're cool, let one person, you can stay with me. Other than that, we got plenty of hotels. We got good food. Come on down, support. If you're in Tallahassee, either, you know, contact the lady personally, blackpreservation.org, blackpreservation.org, blackpreservation.org. Make sure you support this event. If you don't support anything else this year, and I don't recommend you do that, but please please support this event, because it's so much bigger than just having a gala to look fancy. We're actually helping to put somebody in college who may not otherwise have an opportunity to go to college. So that's what your contribution is going to. So dig in them pockets and let's make this happen. Yes, sir. Pat.
All right.
What's up?
Man, look here. Got any final thoughts?
Black power. Oh, wait. Black power to the people.
Power to both of them. Both of them. Any parting shots for you, Delatry?
I just want to thank everybody for their support. I want to thank you, Joseph, and Pat for having me on again. And that obviously means I didn't mess up the first time. So I hope that y'all having me on a second time means that I might get to come on a third time.
Hey, man, you know, tell you like we tell everybody else that we got your section off, VIP'd off for you. So anytime you want to jump on this train, you got your a space on this train. You know, you got anything you want to promote in the future, because you really put your all and your heart into what you do, and you do it for the community. So anytime you have something that you want to promote, you got your space right here on the Freedom Train.
All right, and Joseph, one more thing. If you are a resident of Leon County, I am a candidate for the Leon County Soil and Water Conservation District 5. So if you live in the city of Tallahassee, or if you're a resident of Leon County, this is a countywide seat, and I'm running to represent the citizens of Leon County as your next Leon Soil and Water Conservation District Supervisor. So I need your votes and your support, but I'm sure that's a different podcast for another time.
Hey, man, look here. This is the Freedom Train. We do what we want to do. Where can they go support you? Okay, what website or what email do you have that they can go support you on that endeavor?
They can go to DelatryHollinger.com.
Okay. And spell your name for the people, please.
It's DelaiTre. And the website should be live. If it's not live right now, we will have it up within the next few hours, but it's DelatryHollinger.com.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And y'all make sure y'all support. Delatry, we appreciate you once again for calling in. Like we say, anytime you got things going on in the future, definitely give us a holler, and we'll make sure we help you get it out as far as we can. And, you know, we definitely appreciate everything you do for the community.
Thank you, Joseph. I appreciate it. Thank you, Pat.
No problem.
No problem, man. Well, we'll see you and speak with you in the future.
All right, man.
Yes, sir. Going down. Going down. Hey, man, that's my new hero.
Nah, man, that brother Pharrell, man, he on to something.
hey, that's a bad, like, the first time we met, we talked for like 2 hours, like, just 2 hours, and what's crazy is, when I met him is, it was at one of his friend's birthday party, and the lady who contacted me was a friend of my mother's, and, she wanted me to come over to meet his friend, and I met his friend, and, you know, we hit it off as well, but me and Delatria hit it off on the history tip, and, you know, it was just been moving forward ever since, and when I really found out how young he was and how knowledgeable he was about history and thorough he was, I was blown away. I was like, yeah, I'm going to do all I can to help make this brother famous, so, yeah.
Yeah, he is definitely wise beyond his years, and he is definitely on to something. And he's right though, for NAPAC to really do what it's designed to do, they're gonna need funds. They're gonna need money. You know, like
community got to step up.
Right. You can only do so much once somebody legally purchases a piece of property. It's theirs. You can't really do a whole lot outside of raise a lot of noise and maybe create some public pressure, some social pressure, but people got to step up. That organization, for their mission to be complete, more than anything else, they need finances. So people definitely got to come out of their pocket. It's only $40 a year, which I think is right around the amount that you would spend to join the NAACP or any other national organization.
Or to go to the Trick That and Trina concert.
Or to go to the Trick That and Trina. And it's actually cheaper than going to the Beyonce or Jay-Z concert.
It's thoroughly, thoroughly cheaper. Even cheaper than Trick That and Trina.
So, you know, and it's $40 a year. And that's the thing that I really want to harp on with. Like, even to join PAX is only $20 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could pay $2 a month.
Right.
You know, to join NAPAC is $40 a year. To support these organizations is not a lot of money. It's really not. But for your $40 in the case of NAPAC, or for your $20 in the case of PAX, or for whatever insignificant amount of money you might pay in the case of some other black advocacy organization, they're able to really do a lot of good in the community.
Right.
And it's no real slack off of your back. Like, it's not like they ask for hundreds of dollars.
Right. Right. I mean, everybody can at least support, financially support at least one organization. If everybody pick and choose at least one organization to financially support, a lot of these organizations will be in a better position to actually operate in the community and make things happen and not have to rely on government funds, which waters down their mission.
Right. And to be honest, and I know the black community doesn't have a lot of money, but like you said, Joe, I don't see any reason why a fairly large percentage of black people can't afford to cough up $2 to $3 to $4 to $5 a month to support an organization. Like, I really don't see in today's day and age very many black people not being able to afford something as insignificant as $2 a month, or something as insignificant as $40 a year, even if you have to save, you know, $5 a month for 8 months and then give it to them. Like there's, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's really no excuse for these organizations.
It's a lot more people can do. Yeah, it's a lot more people can do. I mean, people always complain about stuff being too expensive, but then go out and buy stuff that's way more expensive than what they're complaining about. Like, I ain't trying to be funny, but shoot, if you smoke weed or cigarettes, use your weed or cigarette money. Put something to the side. You put $20 to your weed and put $10 to the organization. And next thing you know, you have $40. It's a strategy you can use now.
Right. Right, and that's why I'm about to go on this binge on my social media accounts to just giving people opportunities to help. We got NAPAC, we got PACS, I'm gonna find a couple other organizations.
Right.
And
Mind Your Black Business.
Mind Your Black Business.
The Independence Day Project. Make sure you support the Independence Day Project.
Does Mind Your Black Business have a support program?
I think so. Let's go to the website. I think so.
Because I'm actually not sure about that. But definitely the Independence Day Project, like, that's not even a yearly minimum. Like, that brother's just asking for anything you got, even if it's just 50 cents.
Right. Right. So I mean, you know, support black businesses across the board. Support financially. Support with your time. Support with your you know, spreading up their message, promoting all these organizations. If we don't do it, then we got to stop complaining about us not having what we need. You know, I mean, it's our job to give us what we need. We know that. And while you out there, supporting all those organizations, make sure you buy a copy of my book, On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America, which is available on Amazon.com, Audible.com, Barnes & Noble, Lulu.com, eJunkie.com, and I think I'm forgetting something, but other.coms. Or you can just go to OnTheShoulders1.com and support. And make sure while you're doing all that supporting, subscribe to my YouTube channel, On the Shoulders of Giants. Yes, I said it.
I mean, but like, that doesn't even require money.
Right.
Like, that's just clicking a button.
Right. So, I mean, hey.
So, but I'm serious, man. We're going to, I'm definitely going to start pushing some more things if I can get around to getting on social media on a regular basis. That's going to be a challenge in and of itself. But, definitely, because this shit is so inexpensive to support the community. Like, it's probably one of the most inexpensive things you'll ever do. I see people posting about their Starbucks coffee. Starbucks costs like $5 a cup. $5
it's
for
expensive.
A cup of coffee.
I've been there once. I never go back.
Right. That shit ain't cheap. Going to the movies nowadays.
Man,
go
you spend $40.
$30, $40,
$50. Right. You spend $40 trying to take somebody out.
Right. Going to McDonald's and getting the number 8 costs you $10, I think. I ain't been, but pretty sure the value meals cost around about $10.
McDonald's.
You know, so for that same amount of money, for a fraction of that amount of money, you can be supported in an organization for an entire year.
Exactly. Exactly. More than one.
Because I don't see any reason why you can't support NAPAC for $40 a year, support PACS for $20 a year, go out and support somebody else's organization, and then subscribe to On the Shoulders of Giants. Like, all of that will cost you less than $100 a year.
And spend $10 on the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 1, North America. You know what I'm saying?
That included, that's still less than $100 a year.
You know what I'm saying? But these are things that we need to start doing, and especially when we have genuine people in organization who run these organizations who really want to make things happen. So that's why we got to do that. So, you know what I'm saying? We got to wrap this thing up, but it's all good. We had an event, and yeah, we did, and we'll do it again if we want to. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all spread the word. We are live on this podcast every Tuesday now at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Make sure you tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell their mothers, because, you know, they might have a friend that they can tell too. So call in number 712-775-7031. The access code 619-364-257. And, of course, we know we're sponsored by PACS, Inc. And PACS Inc. is a black advocacy organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. And for more information, make sure you visit www.pactsinc.org. And make sure you visit our website at www.freedomtrainradio.com and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And guess what? We're going to holler at y'all next week, next Tuesday at 6:30. So two fingers in the air like a player, split them apart. We'll holler at you.